Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and have had a wonderful weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, October 27th. Coming up today, a former asylum seeker set to speak at a debate about immigration in Broadstairs. A dad suffered 6 years of sleepless nights while being hounded for child maintenance he didn't owe. And we've got a wrap-up of the Jills defeat over the weekend. But first, taking a look at our top story today. Fire crews have spent more than 7 hours tackling a blaze at an abandoned nightclub in Gravesend. Emergency services were called to Northfleet just before 11:30 last night. Nicola has more for the Kent Online podcast.
Well, 8 fire engines, a height vehicle, a bulk water carrier and a drone have been at the scene of the blaze since it broke out at the former Portland's Factory Club last night. Kent Fire and Rescue say they are making good progress putting out the flames, but as we record today's podcast, it is still burning. Nearby homes were evacuated and the high street closed in both directions. Now, the building dates back to 1878 and was once a hub for the area. However, it's been empty for more than 30 years. This blaze is the latest in a series of fires to have broken out in the building in recent years, first in December 2022, then July the following year, September last year, and also in March of this year. It's not known yet how the fire started, but bosses say the cause is under investigation.
Thanks so much, Nicola. Video has emerged of the fire. You can see it along with pictures from the scene by heading to the homepage of Kent Online. Now, it's been a busy few days for Kent's fire service with another blaze ripping through another historic building yesterday, this time in Faversham. The blaze broke out at Standard Quay in the early hours, destroying at least 2 businesses. Kent Online's Megan Carr was at the scene.
At the start, it was just fire coming out of the business's door and a lot of smoke. And then the fire brigade turned up. They came so quickly and it didn't matter what they were doing. It's such an old historic building that it's just full of old wood and it's just the perfect material to just absolutely be engulfed by flames. And as I was standing there, literally before my eyes, in seconds, it just spread and spread and spread, and the whole building was ablaze. And it was just so devastating and so sad to see. I've never seen anything like it before. In the end, I think it was 6 fire engines that turned up, and I definitely saw Canterbury, Sittingbourne, obviously Faversham, Tenham had all arrived, and there was a massive height vehicle, so one of the firefighters could be above the fire, sort of dousing it down. It was just, you know, and this morning it's been left in an absolutely apocalyptic state. It's just a shell of this former building, and I'm so sad for the businesses, so sad. I can't even imagine how they must all be feeling, because, you know, just witnessing it was heartbreaking. I can't imagine owning it and just seeing everything that you've worked towards just being how it is this morning. It's just so sad. But again, it's just been, you know, so grateful for Kent Fire and Rescue Service. They were so professional, so fast. And in the end, when they realised that they just weren't going to be able to sort of stop this fire from destroying the building that it started in, they just put all their efforts into stopping it from spreading. And the whole quayside is historic and full of old buildings. And, you know, one ember that would have gone on to another one of the sort of old wooden roofs, and the whole thing would have gone up. So they just put their whole attention into dousing the other buildings. So yeah, very, very lucky that it didn't spread, but so sad for the business owners that were affected.
Simon and Hazel Jeffrey run The Woodman and His Wife, a small business based in Painters Forstall, which makes bespoke wood pieces. They were due to set up a stall at a craft fair in the town on Saturday and Sunday and were storing pieces in an empty unit at Standard Quay. Hazel says they found out yesterday morning that everything had been lost.
We advertised by going round to different wood shows, food festivals and garden shows and stuff, selling our smaller wares so then we could advertise for our larger wares, which is the bespoke gates and garden furniture and bespoke fencing and things. And then we sell chopping boards, bud vases, trugs, seed trays and things that we've made at the shows. But that means now we've got no stock in the run-up to the holiday season, because everything was stored in the empty lot, because they'd kind enough to let us borrow it, so I didn't have to drag it all the way backwards and forwards for today's show after yesterday's show. So yeah, so it just means we've lost all of it. Our gazebo, my pyrography pen, because I do personalised stuff as well while I'm on the stall, and yeah, some tools and things, and then all our stock. So we had benches and tables and a dog bed, all sorts of different things like that, and the whole thing. All of our stock that we sell is gone. Our summer work is slowed down now. So this is when we, because nobody really wants garden stuff and that now this time of year. So that's when we've built up over the last 6 months or so, the stock to sell for the run up to Christmas and take us through into January before sort of February, March, and then the fencing and the gates and stuff start coming back in again. But fortunately, we've got work that we can carry on with. But the poor people that in the other places, they've lost everything. I don't know how they're coping this morning. There's such a lovely community down at Standard Quays. We've done a couple of shows down there and visited as a family as well. And it's just such a shame that it's happened, because I'm sure they're all affected, because they're all friends and family. And it's such an old place as well, with so much history. It's just such a something to, really sad to lose. And those poor ones that have lost their businesses, I just don't know how they're coping. Because I wouldn't, you know, as I said, we've got something we can move on to, and we can sort of still press on, but they're going to be left with nothing. We've got some insurance that will cover the tools and things, and we've got a little bit of stock insurance. But to be completely honest with you, it's just heads down and carry on and keep going and keep making. So it'll be some late nights and things like that to try and get stock back together for the up and coming shows and pop-ups and things that we've got coming up in the next couple of months.
The blaze is thought to have been caused by an electrical fault. You can see pictures and video at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other stories today. A Folkestone man has admitted being the owner of a dog dangerously out of control after a baby girl was attacked by an XL bully. 8-month-old Arabella was left with serious injuries after being bitten at a house in Hawkinge in December last year. Jordan Williams, who's 19 and from Millfield, will be sentenced at a later date. A 77-year-old woman who was also charged pleaded not guilty and is due to go on trial next September. A Gravesend shoplifter who threatened to stab a supermarket worker has been given a suspended sentence. Satnam Aljala from Parrick Street stole from the Iceland Farm Foods and Co-op in the town over a 3-day period. The 39-year-old was also ordered to pay compensation to the stores. A Kent nurse has been banned after posting homophobic comments and anti-Islamic remarks on a work news feed. A misconduct panel heard Lisa LaCour was working for HCRG Care Group in the county and found her comments were discriminatory in nature and offensive. The nurse of 48 years have been struck off from the register, meaning she'll never be able to practice as a nurse again. Now, two brothers have been caught on camera smashing up a woman's home in Whitstable. Doorbell footage at Kent Online shows them punching the door and throwing objects through the windows of a property on Lucerne Drive in May.
This way or the other way?
No, that way.
No. Get here now! No! 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 Get here! No! I don't give you room now! Get here! Get here! Get out here!
It's understood they were trying to find a previous partner of the woman who lived there. The men, who are 32 and 33, both admitted criminal damage and have been given community orders.
Kent Online News.
A former asylum seeker is due to speak at a public debate about immigration in Broadstairs later. Aaron Wharf came to the UK from Iraq as a teenager in 1999 and is now a British citizen living in Kent. He's been chatting to Lucy ahead of the event.
I arrived in the UK in a baccalaureate. As there were no safe route for me to come to UK. It took me 7 days in a baccalaureate to get somewhere to be safe. And as I arrived in UK, the lorry driver let me off on M20 and I was at the age of 17. The time was scary to be in the back of a lorry and not knowing where you're going and not knowing what happened to you, because from the start, I was born in Iraq into the Kurdish family. So from Iraq, I was handed over to 3 smugglers until I arrived in the UK. So I wouldn't know what's going to happen next. So that was kind of worrying. But also, it was a feeling be safe, no longer I'll be tortured, and or no longer knowing the certainty will I be alive or not.
And tell me a bit about why you've decided to speak at this debate.
It's important for a political party to hear from people that went through the process, and I'm now a British subject, and I'm freely able to speak for the people that have no voice. I personally believe immigration is not a problem. It's the political party and the people are the problem. They are not wanted to hear the truth. And I believe there is a solution for the issues now. But political party has been, and the government after government, passing to one each other's with a small effort to just to show they've been doing something without actually putting a program in a place how they can sort the problem out. It's no one can deny to say there is an issue, but how we deal with it long term, I haven't seen a long term, and that can't be done.
Just finally, what would your message be to people who might feel threatened by asylum seekers and might not have the kind of compassion or understanding of what they've been through?
I think anybody that have a the feeling the people are asylum seeker are threatened, or they come here to take what they have. Go and talk to them. Don't listen. Don't listen to the politician. Even don't listen to me. The only things you want to listen to me, go yourself, find out. You know, every community, every country, every culture is share good and bad people. We can't deny that. You know, we can't say the prisons of Britain all are empty from the British person, empty from the English or UK citizen. They're not. So, but that mean all the British people are bad. So go yourself, meet asylum seeker, and make your own judgment.
You'll be speaking at the event organised by the Thanet Assembly at the Queen's Road Baptist Church this evening. An all-girls school in Chatham is scrapping its trademark pink shirt as boys are admitted for the first time next year. Fort Pitt Grammar will become fully co-educational from September 2026. They say the change reflects a new chapter. Some parents say they're unhappy. Girls will now be expected to wear a tie and that it undermines the school's heritage and identity. An Indian restaurant in Whitstable has launched another bid to be able to sell alcohol. The Star of Bengal in Harbour Street lost its previous license after immigration officers found two men working there illegally. It's now been taken over by a new boss who also wants the restaurant to be allowed to stay open until 2 a.m. Now, we've been hearing from a Kent dad who said he had almost 6 years of sleepless nights being chased for child maintenance he didn't owe. Oliver Marley and his partner entered into a private agreement when they separated in 2018. However, when they opened a case with the Child Maintenance Service in 2019, they said Oliver owed thousands in arrears. Reporter Millie Bowles has been chatting to Oliver, who lives in Whitfield near Dover.
This is from 2018, so it'll be about 4 or 5 years. Constant text messages, bombardment, letters, money I didn't even owe. I also had a lot of statements come through on your scheduled payments saying that I owed X amount of money. Again, I didn't owe. So yeah, it's been going on for a long time.
And how did that sort of affect your life and your mental health?
I didn't sleep. Every time I knew there was a schedule coming through, I was worried about money. I was worried what they were going to do because they took deductions of earnings orders from where I work. So I didn't know if I was going to have that money coming through. Every schedule payment you got was completely different, and it just had an impact, you know, worrying the whole time, you know, how am I going to pay this bill and demand for money. And just the constant harassment has really affected me. I've got no trust in child maintenance team whatsoever.
And And what did you get in way of an apology, and how did you feel about that?
I felt very disappointed and upset. So for the 5 years of hell that I've gone through, they only offered me £50 compensation, and I believe that was only because my MP, Mike Tapp, got involved, and his team, who've worked really good. They worked really hard on this matter, trying to help it and trying to put it correct. But £50 for not sleeping, worrying about money, you know, and for money I didn't even owe, and deduction of earnings order, I just think it's not right. It's not acceptable.
Kent Online News.
A busy route in Sittingbourne will be permanently closed from today for work to build a new link road. The A249 Maidstone-bound entry slip at the Key Street roundabout is shutting as part of a multi-million pound revamp. The new road will join up with the Chestnut Street roundabout, which is being constructed near the Wises Lane housing development in Borden. Plans to relocate the driving test centre in Ashford have been given the go-ahead. The DVSA will be moving from the Civic Centre to International House, which is the town's tallest building. It won't impact anyone who's already booked their test at the old site, which could now be turned into housing. Plans to concrete over a sports field for a new park and ride in Canterbury look set to be scrapped. The City Council wanted to move the Wincheap Park and Ride to Thannington Recreation Ground. Residents have been fighting the plans, and new documents show bosses now intend to invest in the existing site instead. Plans to transform a derelict nightclub in Tunbridge into 34 apartments have been approved. The site of the former Source of Sound, known as SOS, will also have parking, and there'll be refurbishments to the existing gym. The club closed on Christmas Eve in 2017. Work is expected to begin within the next 4 weeks.
Kent Online News.
Residents and councillors are calling for a building in Ashford that's overrun with pigeons to be cleaned up. The former Evans unit in the town centre has been left in a state of disrepair and has been described as an unhygienic health hazard. A planning application has been lodged with Ashford Borough Council for the redevelopment of the site into six flats. Plans to transform an abandoned building in Folkestone into a house of multiple occupation have been given the go-ahead. The former office space in Cheriton Place will be converted into a 9-bedroom property. Concerns were raised by neighbours about a lack of space, but developers say the work will secure the long-term future of the historic building. Construction of 8 modular units in Gravesend to help homeless people will start in the new year. The plans to place the solo house pods on the land off St Albans Close near Valley Drive were approved earlier this month. They're designed to house rough sleepers temporarily. Some locals have raised concerns over the loss of green space and antisocial behaviour. Now, some sad news. Now, the adoptive mum of double amputee Tony Hodgell from Kent has revealed she's been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Paula says the disease, which started in her bowel in 2022, has now spread to her lungs and is incurable. She spent years campaigning alongside Tony, who had to have both legs amputated after being abused by his birth parents.
Kent Online News.
There are plans to completely rebuild a hospice in Canterbury, creating a new state-of-the-art facility. Pilgrim's Hospice previously wanted to build a new site in Thannington, but the idea was abandoned following years of delays and uncertainty. Bosses have instead decided to invest £10 million in knocking down and replacing their existing hospice on London Road. A pub near Ashford, which suddenly closed in the summer, is due to reopen in time for Christmas. The Hare and Hounds at the junction of Sandyhurst Lane and the A20 has been taken on by a new landlord. It'll remain under the ownership of pub chain Stonegate when it reopens in December. Dover's Discovery Centre is reopening today after a £7 million revamp. The town centre site is home to the town's library as well as an adult education and social care service. Bosses say the space has been redesigned to provide a more modern, accessible and welcoming environment. Kent's Balvinda Sopal has survived Icons Week on Strictly. The East Ender star from Gillingham scored 28 for her quick step to Beyonce's Texas Hold'em. And a documentary about post-Brexit Britain has premiered at the Folkestone Film Festival. Blue Has No Borders looks at differing opinions around immigration and what it means to be British. Filmmaker Jessie Gutch moved to Folkestone 4 years ago and has interviewed people in the towns about their experiences. She and I spoke ahead of the premiere.
So it's a film with, I'd say, quite a lot of kind of different layers and kind of themes. But I think it ultimately, I think, is about trying to find community, but also and a sense of belonging. But I think also asking the question of how do all of us kind of belong to a place with all of our differences, with all of our background, different backgrounds. And I guess asking the kind of real, like that real core question at this time of, I guess, kind of real tension and division about who we are as a country, what we stand for, what our values are, and I guess trying to think, is there a way that we can all kind of feel that and maybe reclaim a sense of kind of Britishness together that all fit that feels welcoming to everybody? And I guess it's also partly about, I think, my journey of moving to a town like Folkestone from London, kind of with all of that, I suppose, background of mine and like my own prejudices and my own biases, that I perhaps maybe had put on slightly to like, you know, there's almost that like cliche around like small towns, like small-minded, like, and I think that's a prejudice and bias that often people living in cities have. So it's very much also my own, I think, kind of journey of discovery and learning about the place that I'd moved to as well.
The film is being shown again in Broadstairs tonight.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham have lost 2-1 to Salford City in their latest League Two match. The Gills conceded twice and missed a penalty before Josh Andrews scored at Priestfield on Saturday. Gillingham's assistant manager Richard Dobson spoke to the club's media rep after the match.
We gave ourselves a little bit too much to do, having conceded the early goals in the game. Something that we highlighted would be a strength of theirs, and so it was. And I'm a little bit disappointed that we didn't react to that quicker. Cisse in particular coming through midfield. So in terms of chances throughout the game, we've created plenty of chances again. Obviously the missed penalty was a big turning point. But I think I've just heard they had two shots on target and scored two goals, and we've had seven and scored one. And that's really the story of the game.
Obviously it doesn't help in the first couple of minutes when you have to take off your goalkeeper. Looked like a groin to me. Is that the case?
Yeah. He's felt his groin as he's kicked it. So that's just the situation we're in at the moment. We're picking up these silly things that obviously aren't helping, and it's just another one today. We'll have a look at that one, obviously assess him, but in Jake Turner we've got a capable goalkeeper and someone who can step in.
We just bumped into Carl Robinson, who said we deserve more than what we got. Early in the second half, we threw everything at them, didn't we? Bradley's had a great shot, well saved. Andrew's off the line, just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. As I say, we created chances. We put the ball in good areas. Our front three, the way we set them up was designed to overpower them. So it looked a bit scrappy at times, but between the three of them, they made it work. And we got behind them. We got crosses in the box. We got people on the end of it. But as I say, I think it's a brilliant clearance for the one off the line. Keeper's made a couple of really good saves, and we've huffed and puffed and haven't been able to find that equaliser.
It's a lack of effort, is there? You can see the effort on the pitch from absolutely every single person, but today, plus perhaps Cheltenham as well, we're just lady luck maybe hasn't smiled on us.
Yep, yes, we need to be a little bit more clinical when we get the chances. I thought Seb had scored, and I think it was a good save actually. It was given as a goal kick. But we've got into good areas. It's not like we're hoping for a 25 yarder to end up in the top corner. We've got through, and we've seen the whites of the keeper's eyes, and we haven't put the ball in the back of the net. If Dackie scores that one when we've got a little bit of momentum in with the penalty, then it's probably a very different game. But you miss a penalty, and as so often happens, you miss a penalty, and then shortly later, They break away and score, and all of a sudden what should be 1-1 turns into 2-0 and you've got a mountain to climb.
Striker Sam Vokes says he's confident they can turn things around.
We know what we're fully capable of doing this season and what we're fully capable of achieving, and that hasn't changed one bit. Bumps in the road are frustrating. They are frustrating at the minute, and we know what we achieved in the first start of the season and the run we've been on previous, so we know what we're capable of. We know what we can do to turn it round. We just need to implement that now, and that comes from within. And we know we've got the support of the crowd and the staff behind us. So, look, we need to go out next time, and I suppose start games better and start more on the front foot, and build into games.
They've now gone 5 games without a win and are 8th in the table. Staying with football, and Kent teams will find out who they'll face in the second round of the FA Trophy. Folkestone Invicta, Sittingbourne and Chatham Town all made it through following games over the weekend. Teams from the National League South also enter the competition at this stage. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.com. kent.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.